see. No, 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 stop and think it over, pal. The guy sure looks like plant food to me. The guy sure looks like plant food to me. The guy sure looks like plant food to me.
He's so nasty, treating her rough.
Yeah, smacking her around and always talking so tough.
You need blood and he's got more than enough.
I need blood and he's got more than enough.
You need blood and he's got more than enough.
So go get it!
You're listening to the Mike Kara radio program, I and the Nation, proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth.
Well, welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of the Mike Kara radio program, Eye on the Nation. We definitely have our eye on the nation, as always, proudly broadcasting from, everybody say it all together in unison, Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth. And we truly do appreciate everyone joining us today, as my guest is stand-up comedian and performer and just a great comedian, Mr. Mac Lindsay. And Mac, it's a pleasure and honor you could join me today as we talk all about comedy. Mac calling us from, hopefully beautiful Los Angeles, California, USA. And we also want to let everyone know that Mac is a regular at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, California. So if you are around that way, check Mac's website and maybe catch him out there. Mac is traveling all over the country. She should be in Chicago. He should be just about in New York, everywhere. And he's got some information on Facebook, and he's got a great blog. So again, my guest is stand-up comedian and performer Mac Lindsay. And we want to thank Mac so much for his time, as well as one final time, each and every one of our radio listeners of the Mike Kara radio program, Eye on the Nation. Thanks so much. We truly do appreciate all of our listeners, and we thank them for choosing. You know, there's a lot of internet radio shows out there, and we do appreciate you supporting this show and supporting it by just listening and enjoying it. That's all I really want, is if that we could all enjoy some great interviews for some great individuals and human beings such as Mac Lindsay, and great professionals that have a passion for what they do. So again, my guest is Mac Lindsay, and Mac, it is a pleasure and an honor you could join me today. Thanks so much. And Mac, now as far as we mentioned the Comedy Store, but tell us about some of the other places that you perform. I mean, in L.A., I mean, do you tour across the country? Or?
Yeah, I do a lot of, I'll tour across the country, you know, I'll do anything from a dive bar to, because it's hard for me to get into comedy clubs, like I say, so I have to kind of use a lot of alternative venues, and I use a lot of social media to promote myself, which is, you know, par for the course. Now everybody's doing, you know, do-it-yourself stuff now, and it's just kind of hard for me to get into a lot of comedy clubs. So occasionally I'll do a comedy club, you know, but for the most part I'll do alternative venues. Like, I headlined the Vans Warped Tour, which was, you know, a big punk rock festival. I did the Altercation Punk comedy tour with JT Haberstadt. It's sponsored by Altercation Punk magazine. I've done a lot of, like, music shows with punk venues and stuff like that, and when I'm in town, though, like when I'm in Los Angeles, I'll usually do the Comedy Store. I'll get up at, you know, booked rooms, but most of the rooms down here don't pay comics. As a matter of fact, you know, if you're starting comedy out here, it's really hard because some of the rooms actually charge the comic to get on stage, which is, you know, you're not going to have a comedy show without a comic, so why are you charging them? But again, you know, comics being the addicts that they are, we're desperate to get on stage and try stuff out, and most of the time we'll acquiesce to the to the humiliating demands of something like that. But, I perform around town, you know, comedy. I'll do the improv. I'll do the Comedy Store. I'm going to do Sal's Comedy Hole tonight, which is a new club. This guy from New York opened up. So I'm going to do that. And a lot of times I'll just go up at alternative rooms and alternative venues. You know, I'll get up wherever I can to work my stuff out.
Oh, great. And yeah, you mentioned work your stuff out. So I mean that it's a good opportunity then to, you know, perform and see, you know, how the audiences react. And again, this varies from comic to comic. And, you know, some I've heard that some comedians respectfully don't care what the audience thinks, and some know that, you know, they're their bread and butter. I mean, how critical are you, you know, when it comes to audience response?
Well, first I got to look at the audience. I mean, I'm not one of those people that's like, hey, if you don't like it, you just don't get it. Sometimes I really mess up. Sometimes I don't do a good job, you know, and I have to admit to that when it happens, you know, and then go back to the drawing table. It's not the end of the world if I did a bad job, you know, nobody's perfect. So, you know, a lot of times, though, if I look at the audience and they're in Dockers and wearing shawls and obviously have spent time at equestrian estates before, chances are if they don't laugh, I'm doing something right. Well, not necessarily doing something right, but chances are they're not going to laugh. You know, I shouldn't expect that out of them. You know, I have a very specific audience. So when I'm going up, you know, I try to do the best I can no matter who's in the audience. But if I do my job, and you know, as a performer, and I've been doing it long enough, I know when I didn't bring it. I know when I didn't give my all. You know what I mean? I know when that happens. And you know, of course, I pay the emotional repercussions of that. Now, if I go there and I do my job and I do stuff that I know is funny and I know it works, and they don't get it, then it's like, okay, you don't get it. You know? And that's usually how I look at it. You know, I mean, I'll know something is funny usually before I say it. I'll know something is kind of funny usually before I say it. And sometimes I'll know something isn't funny before I say it, and I'll say it anyways. But, you know, I shouldn't expect anyone to enjoy that if I didn't even think it was that good, or I was lazy when I put it together and just, you know, it was the first thing my mind went to. So, you know, I mean, the audience, too bad you can't do stand-up comedy without an audience, because I usually don't like the audience. But, you know, it's like I care what the audience thinks so in as much as I care how hard and how much effort I've put in to delivering a performance. If I do a good job and I know I did a good job and they don't like it, I don't really care that much. If I don't do a good job and they don't like it, I usually feel pretty bad, and it's not the audience's fault.
Right. So, I mean, it's fair to say then, Mac, then pretty much, because I know some comedians will, you know, will change, you know, their material. But like you said, you'll just perform what you had prepared and hopefully that they'll get it. I mean, there's no times where you'll actually change something then on stage then.
No, that is one thing I won't do. And a lot of comics will do that, you know, and that's their prerogative, and I understand you want the laughs, and you're like, I'm here for the audience. And I'm here for my audience. I'm not here for some other person's audience. I want to be myself. I want you to like me for who I am. If you don't, and I'm being who I am the best I can, then that's just too bad. I mean, I'm not going to change. And besides, like, even if I wanted to, I don't think I could. I really think I'm one of those people that just has one gear. I'm not, you know, I'm not there to do an acrobatic performance, you know? It's like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to do what I do. I'm not necessarily here to appease you if who I am displeases you. You know, you can't please everyone. You can't make everyone like you in life or on the stage. And really the most important thing to me on stage is to be myself. You know, I want to be myself as much as I can. And so when it comes to like what I'm going to talk about or my material, who's in the audience is irrelevant. You know, but, you know, if hopefully they like me, you know, I'm not going up there looking at them going, oh, these people are my enemies. I mean, even if I, you know, look at the way they dress or make assumptions about the type of people they are by the things they've been laughing at before I get on stage, I still got to go up there with an open mind and say, hey, man, I'm going to do the best I can and be myself. And I hope you guys like me. And if not, then I guess that's just, we got a long 45 minutes ahead of us. So that's kind of how I look at that. But no, I won't change my material for whatever audience members are in there. So like, oh, they're not liking this, I better, you know, do something they like real quick. Like, I don't know how I could do that without feeling pathetic. I mean, I really don't know how I could do that without feeling, some people can do it, you know, some people can do that and their conscience isn't bothered at all. I'm not like that, though.
Right. And now I always kind of like to get stand-up comics, view on this subject. Now, I guess Last Comic Standing was canceled, but I mean, would you ever consider performing on that show? And the second part of the question is, do you feel that stand-up comedy should be a competition?
Okay, first, let me say I wouldn't do it. And second, let me say that's the the answer to your second question is no, and that's exactly why I wouldn't do it. I don't think stand-up comedy should be a I don't think any art should be a competition. You don't compete. You want to have a festival to showcase people? Go ahead. You want to have a competition? I'm not going to do that, you know? And I just don't... First up, I would never get on Last Comic Standing. Like, they would never accept me in the first place. Unless, you know, they said, hey... You know, it's not even a matter of, like, hey, tone down the profanity. It's a matter of, like, you can't talk about these subjects. You know? So I wouldn't get on it anyways, but, you know, even... So, yeah, I mean, that's the best I can say. They wouldn't let me on it anyways. I would say if I had material that would work on it, I wouldn't do it. But I don't have any material that would work on it. I've never had any material that would work on that show. So I'm just going to say no, they wouldn't have me. But I do not think comedy should be treated as a competition. I think it should be respected, you know. You compete. Compete in football. Compete in boxing. Compete, you know, and other things. Don't compete with comedy. Don't compete with, you know, painting. Don't compete with, you know, music. Just play it and show it and enjoy it and consume it, and that's it.
Exactly. And now, as far as the prep goes, I mean, as far as like preparation, I mean, is it a situation that the preparation is all done and then come 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 or whenever you go on? I mean, do you I don't know, like in music sometimes they do rehearsals, or you pretty much just go at it at that time then?
Yeah, I never really practiced in front of the mirror or anything like that. I mean, I write something or I get it in my head and have like a vague skeletal structure of what it's supposed to be, and then I'll get on stage and sort of hammer it out, record it, listen to it, go, okay, that didn't work, that didn't work, that did work, you know. And then I'll just sort of like hone it down until it's where it's supposed to be, to where it's like, okay, this is how it's supposed to sound, this is the way I like it, and it's funny to me this way. And, you know, then I'll go ahead and perform. But I don't really like sit there and read over it, go over it. I like to kind of go up there, you know, half blind, you know, to give me some breathing room to see what I can come up with while playing with an idea. I mean, I will write it down. I do write every day, but it's not like I'm, you know, writing verbatim what I'm going to say every time. You know, there may be certain, like, parts that need to be that way. And after I'm done hammering it out, a lot of times a bit will become solidified, and it will have, you know, the sentence structure and the timing and all of that sort of down pat. But to prepare for like going on like an open mic or to trying new stuff out, it's usually just sort of a loose organization of an idea, you know, with some keywords and or a key sentence, and, you know, sort of just a rough structure of how it's supposed to sound until I've completely worked it out.
Right. And now I want to talk about something. Now, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is no actually stand-up comedy union. However, there is, you know, with the union and TV and music and coal miners and all that. So my question is, I mean, do you feel that at a union or some sort of, like, organization to help protect stand-up comics is needed? Or are you treated well by the clubs, or...?
Most clubs don't treat comics well. Like I said, it's a matter of exploitation. I mean, comedy clubs hold the cash, right? But comedians hold the product. The problem is like, and I don't mean to sound like Karl Marx or anything, but most people that perform are alienated from the product they produce. They don't realize that, you know, they're the ones making it. Without that, there is no club. There is no industry without performers. Do I think that there should be a union? I don't know. I mean, they do have the comedy union in Houston. There are some places that have, you know, have formed sort of like a loose semblance of a union for comics. A bunch of comics get together and they sort of, you know, people gathered together sort of gives them a little bit of an edge, you know, and they get to make a little bit more rules. But, you know, most of us are very, you know, solitary people that are trying to get, you know, what we want. And clubs, you know, like I said, have they're the retailers. We may have the product, but, you know, they're the ones holding all the cash for it. And it's kind of like most people don't fight it. You know, most people think it's too big to fight. So one way to circumvent it is to go ahead and do alternative venues, you know, and try to throw your own shows and build your own audience. And it's not that it's not hard. It's still extremely difficult, but it is possible if you have a voice or you have something you're creating that is able to connect with an audience for them to have, it's easier to access, easier for the audience to access it now with, you know, social media. And I hate to browbeat that, but it is true. You know, I mean, how did you find me? You know, I mean, it was through some form of social media, I'm assuming, right?
Actually, Facebook.
There you go. See, you found me through Facebook. And that's kind of the point that I'm making is like, maybe we need a union, maybe not. I'd like it if, you know, clubs just disappeared altogether. I don't really, if I could have my druthers, I'd say, you know, comedy clubs open up their mind to different forms of comedy, have the comedy industry open up its mind to different forms of comedy so that there is more than one standard of comedy. So people don't have to expect and have these like expectations of what comedy is supposed to be. And if that can't happen with comedy clubs and if that can't happen with the stand-up comedy industry, I'd rather all of it just go away and we do our own thing. Really. I'm not really worried about a union.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know, Mac. Okay, Beck, as we get down to the nitty-gritty here, of course, on the Mike Kira radio program, I on the Nation, we're all about learning and pursuing our passions and dreams. And do you have any advice? Now, we always hear, I've all the comics that I've asked this question always say that the first place is the open mic, but do you have any suggestions for up and coming comics that have the passion and desire to, you know, how they should go about it? Is the open mic the best way? Or,
I mean, that's where I started. Actually, the first time I ever went up was an open mic at a bar called Monkey Ducks in Houston, Texas. And I mean, you do that. I mean, the most important thing I think is to write and to perform as much as you can. And the point of doing that is to ultimately be able to be yourself stage. I think that's the most important thing. Now, you want to go open an open mic? That's great. Start your own open mic. I mean, I've started my own shows in the beginning, you know, running my own open mic so I can get stage time and I can offer stage time to other people. And those people will help you out that have those shows. But ultimately, the most important thing, I think, for a comic starting out is to get to learn how to be yourself as fast as you can. You know, that doesn't mean you can, like, push it and make it happen on your own, but to me, that's the ultimate goal. Be yourself. I mean, there's too many people that, you know, they learn how to write a joke, they learn how to think, like, what will the audience laugh at? But then when they're up there, they're just like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. I haven't even gotten to know you. I don't have a clue. You're just some, you know, you're like a joke machine up there. You're just spitting out jokes, you know, and, I think that's the most important thing, you know, is before learning how to, you know, make it funny, find out what matters to you, you know, say say if something matters to you, find out who you are on stage before, you know, then make it funny, you know, doesn't mean don't try to be funny, but, you know, try to do it being yourself. And, yeah, I mean, you know, open mics, but writing and getting on stage, whether it's an open mic, whether it's, you know, at a music show, whether it's a book show, just get up as much as you can. Write as much as you can. But most importantly, just learn how to be yourself.
Exactly. Okay, Mac. And before we go, we want to talk. You were talking about social media, and I found you on Facebook. And tell our audience how people, now you're on YouTube as well. Tell how people can find out more about you on the web.
Yeah, I have a blog at MacLindsayWordPress.com. And then I have, you know, my Twitter is at MacLindsay3. And then my Facebook, MacLindsay Stand Up Comedian fan page. And those are like the three best ways to get in touch with me. I mean, all that stuff is linked up to YouTube. You can find video on that stuff. You can find my blogs on that stuff. You can find my, you know, schedule for my shows on there. I always respond to my emails if anybody ever wants to email me. You know, I try to be as interactive as possible. You know, people post on the wall, I post back. I answer all my emails. You know, I'm not like, the thing about with social media, you can't it's no longer like, hey, you know, I'm over here and then the audience is over there. It's like, no, we're able to interact on it, you know? And I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy doing that. I spend so much time like promoting and feeding my own ego. It's nice to like wonder about other people too, you know?
Okay. Okay. Thanks. So, and one final question, Mac, of course, we're filming this show 25 miles outside of Chicago. And do you know when the next time you'll be in the Chicagoland area for anybody to check you out here?
You know, it probably won't be till around October, honestly. I'm looking at coming out around that way, around October. I don't have the dates solidified yet, but I'm working on it. And, you know, so right now, no, but people can keep up with what I do. I actually used to live by Naperville a long time ago. I lived, you know where Naperville is?
Yeah, that actually borders Woodridge where I am now, so yes.
Yeah, that's I used to stay out there. And, I wasn't there that long. But no, I'm not going to be out there for a while. It'll probably be, like I said, around October before I'm out that way.
Okay, we'll look for you then. Okay, Mac, I want to thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention now before we head on out of here?
No, you know, I appreciate the interview, and I'm glad that I really like the questions you asked, you know. I like the questions that you asked, and I think that there should be more dialogue, you know, for stand-up comedy, you know, that sort of is in this vein, and I appreciate what you do, so thanks for having me on.
Okay, my pleasure. My guest has been Mac Lindsay, and you've been listening to the Mike Kara Radio program, Eye on the Nation. And please catch us again next time.